Hiya, can you hear me?
Oh,
Hello?
hi. Sorry, yeah, I don't know what happened there, and I was actually still talking.
Oh, I think that the service must have gone then.
So where is it we got to? Where did you hear me up until?
So I asked which one you'd prefer to start with, and then it went silent.
All right, okay, maybe that's a good thing then, because I kind of I went on a little bit too much. You're probably
That's
already
okay.
heard that.
That's okay.
Right, so when it is, does this come to when I was first maybe like abused, or is this what this is about?
Yeah, so these are all statements regarding what happened to you in each of the settings regarding abuse.
Does the one where I stayed with my grandmother apply? I was thinking she was a relative, but it was still a care placement, and I was abused there as well. So I don't know if that would apply or not.
We'll add it on. It might not be accepted. I do have to let you know that, but we'll put it on anyway. Just because it was a care setting that was, it wasn't chosen by, let's just say, family or anything like that. It was
No,
done by this, yeah.
it was done by social work. Yeah, they took me from
Yeah.
my mother's and placed me there,
Okay.
because they were going to put me in a care home first,
Yeah.
and then they were going to try and see if I could go to foster care, and then they actually, I think, because I know I'm not so sure how they went about it, because I know it wasn't my grandmother that contacted them, and it was nothing like that. Social work went out, and I do remember they had a face-to-face sit down with my grandmother,
Yeah.
and they agreed that I would move there.
Okay.
And when I did, that's obviously when that happened. And then I kind of rebelled a little bit and ran away.
Yeah.
And when I came home, well, I ran away. That it was sorry, I was ready to say that night. It wasn't. It was the next day, because I came home from school, and the man was sitting on the chair, and she made me hand him a piece of jewellery that belonged to myself. But obviously, I can get into that later. But yeah, so I mean, it happened when I was there too.
So regarding it, so I know, so if so did you contact social services about what was happening while you were there, and they didn't do anything about it?
It basically never did do anything about it, and that's why I was. I mean, I was already scared to speak up, and then when it got like that, I mean, I'll be honest, I was like, what's the point? And then later on, it was like later on when I thought I kind of started, because I worked with in care survivors and everything once I get out,
Yeah.
so I've got all that'll be there as well. But what really affected me more so was the fact that my biological mother turned round and says to me, Jacqueline, it was happening all the time. And then she named another five people that I was like, as if it was new information to me, so I was obviously still very young. And
Yeah.
I said to her, I said, so there's been five other people that done this to me and you didn't say anything? And she said, well, it was happening all the time. And I went, all the more reason to look into it. I said, because at the end of the day, children don't lie, they're taught to lie. So
Yeah.
basically, there
So
was
what
the
was
other
it
two.
that was, so regarding that, so you were placed with your grandmother by social services,
Yeah. And then
and
we.
then your mum came to you and said that it's, what was it that was happening to you? Sorry.
I was already being abused, which I knew about, obviously, but I wasn't aware that there was another, like, my biological mother actually named these people.
And
So
who was it that you knew about? Where was that? Was that with your grandmother?
this was in a couple of separate places, but yeah, the main one was with my grandmother. But obviously, when I said to her, obviously, about something that happened as well, when me and my cousin, we basically absconded together,
Yeah.
and we went to her babysitter's house, who made sexual gestures, and that's when the police were called.
Yeah.
But when the police came out, I mean, my family are not the best of family. There were known drug dealers and things like that, and I think it was just a case of the face didn't fit and the family name didn't fit,
Yeah.
which is a shame, because I've been through a lot over the years because of just who my family is, and that's not fair.
Yeah.
So basically, they came out and they said there was not enough evidence to prosecute, when in actual fact, the man admitted it to them. And
Is this
that's what
the babysitter or the your family?
the babysitter, my family, I mean, my family just brought him back into the house, left him sleeping there all night, and made me, I came into school and he made me hand him a piece of my jewellery. But as I said, I can get into
Yeah.
that in depth. But
Yeah.
yeah, so ever since when the police were called and they said that, that just made my guard come up and the thorn came down, and I was like, well, this is, to me I felt like, how am I going to get anywhere, you know? And I just kept with
Actually confessed and they didn't do anything.
And I was actually getting scared, and then on top of that, I felt like, with what my mum said, I felt like they just felt like, as a child, they could do what they wanted to, because no one was going to do anything anyway. And then later on, through an embarrassing moment, I was in the city centre and I seen my mum going to her knees. She was working. And I went through a horrific time as a child, a real bad horrific time.
So that's just obviously very, very horrible, just brief overview of the reason, obviously what happened, and then why you stopped speaking up and everything like that. Especially with confessions, and then obviously nothing was done still. So the social workers knew about all of this, and then obviously just kept putting you back.
Yeah, they did, yeah. And obviously it's affected me in the long term as well. I mean, I'm 42 and I've had three serious relationships, if you're lucky.
Yeah.
So I've never had a date. I've never had just a fling. I've never had anything like that. And I'm very, very bad at dealing with emotions. My kid's dad, he used to say things like, try and speak to me. And the TV was really nice to me as well. I would think there was an agenda behind it.
Yeah.
I'm very distrusting. And usually if someone's really nice to me like that, I'm just like, what are they after? What do they want? Why are they being nice to me?
So regarding the case settings then you were placed in, so did you want to, obviously you don't want to, but would you be able to tell me a little bit about the Uphold Children's Home?
The Uphold, nothing really happened there. The only thing that happened there was the fact that I was removed because my aunt was a chef there, and it was like to do with favouritism. I was only there for a short period of time before I was transferred out. So nothing really happened there, but that was the first placement that I went to in the system.
Okay. And then was it, you were moved to Bathgate, was it?
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Yeah, would you be able to tell me a bit about that one?
Yeah, I went to Bathgate Children's Home. I was there for quite some time. And there was a certain member of staff there. I can't remember his name now. I remember specifically he always used to be on shift with Gus. Gus was a big gentle giant. He was a lovely man. And because I was like the maturest one, I had to grow up really fast, sometimes he would call me to come home early to deal with the other young adolescents and get them to their beds and things like that. So I felt like I wasn't just getting a huge responsibility on me from home, I was getting a huge responsibility put on me from the system. And I was a child in the state as well.
Yeah.
But they were calling me to come in and deal with the other children, and I'm a child, so it was a lot. And Matt, his name was Matt, and he obviously was like, he took me to a hearing a couple of times, and he used to like stroke my leg and things like that, but it didn't get any further than that.
Where did he take you, sorry?
He used to take me to like out for clothes, to children's hearings. And then the one that's coming up is the court case. I went to court with my mother. She was a drug dealer. And she basically, when the police came to the door, she threw 10 bags of heroin in my lap.
Yeah.
And when she threw them in my lap, when the police came in, they seen them there. And basically my mum was like, please just take the blame. You're just a child. You'll get a slap in the wrist, but I'll go to prison. And she did go to prison for 3 months afterwards, but before it was me. And I went to court my 15th birthday, and I got 2 years in prison. In the Young Offenders Unit in St Mary's, and that's when I was transferred there. But obviously, when I was in the children's home, when that happened, it was the 26th of May. I remember, well, I'm sure it was the 26th, put it this way, it was only a couple of days before my birthday.
Yeah.
And the police actually came and busted me in the children's home. So, I mean, it was just, I mean, I don't even know what they were thinking, what they were doing. I mean, I had the same name as my mother, yeah, but no way could a child pass for a grown woman, you
Yeah.
know, and not to mention I was in a children's home, which clearly says young adolescent, this is a child, you know. But they still came, and then yeah, a couple of days later, I was taken to court. My mother didn't come, no one came. It was just me, the police, and a member of staff. That man I told you.
Yeah,
That's when they said,
Matt, did you say?
yeah, and that's when they turned around and said that I would get 2 years in a young offender. And
Yeah.
I didn't do three quarters, I didn't do a half, I didn't do nothing like that. I'd done the full 2 years.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But before I went to St Mary's, obviously, before that happened, I did go to my grandmother's. Like, she was the second placement, and
Yeah.
I was back and forth there a couple of times. St Mary's secure unit was the last placement, and I was meant to get support to get, because obviously I wasn't safe at home with her. We've
Yeah.
never had a great relationship. She doesn't even have a photo in our house of me to this day. No one thinks she's got a daughter. And when I was young, she always used to say I was her sister.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was quite hard, but obviously, yeah, I wasn't safe. But the social work still insisted that I return home with her. I said, I don't want to. I want to move on, go to college, get my own little flat. And do
Yeah.
that. I mean, I was of age to have a through care worker and get that done.
Yeah.
However, they made it sound great that they were going to do this and do that and whatever else. And yeah, put in at the end at 17, while still under social work, I ended up with her, back with her, and then I ended up on the street homeless. Now, as a kingership kid, I should never have been in that position. I should never have been homeless, you know, because I'm
No.
not a kingership kid.
Yeah. So just make sure I've got everything we've spoken about so far. So everything that happened at home, obviously we've been through all that and stuff. And then so you went to the Apple Children's Home when you were removed because your aunt worked there, so they like took you away because of like favoritism, things like that. Then you went to Bathgate, and you were forced to look after the younger kids because you were slightly older, even though you were a child yourself.
Yeah, it
And
wasn't
then there
even the
was
fact that just because I was older, it was because of the fact that I was obviously
you were more
more
mature.
mature. Yeah,
Yeah.
yeah,
And then there was the guy Matt then, and he would take you to the children's hearings.
yeah.
And do you say so? Was there any form of abuse from him, or was it sexual gestures?
It was just more gestures than anything else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then on the 26th of May, then is when the police came and busted you for what your mum had done. And then when you say that she threw the heroin at you, was that prior, when which is why you got arrested?
Yeah, no, that was what I went to court for and ended up at St Mary's for, because my mum begged that I took the blame. I mean, they already found them in my possession in my room, but it was because she threw them at me.
Yeah.
And obviously, she was like crying. I'm still young, I want my mum, you know. And I was like,
Yeah.
well, I don't want my mum to go to prison. And that's when
Yeah.
I said that, yeah, it was me. But there was someone that used to come here for stuff. And I know that they went and threatened him to say that if he took, because I think he owed money, and they were like, oh, we'll drop this debt if you just say that you were the ones who gave Jacqueline and the stuff to watch. And
Yeah.
the next thing, the social work and a sheriff officer went to his house, and he thought, I think, to my understanding, what was said was he thought that was the police, when in actual fact, it was a sheriff officer and social work. And
Yeah.
he was sitting saying things like, the daughter's a drug dealer, basically the mum's a drug dealer, basically everything that he could have said to basically make sure I went to care was everything he said. But I was already in care anyway. It was, well, sorry, a secure unit. But at the end of the day, I mean, I really don't. I think that social work handled that really wrong as well, because if anything, they should have investigated that. They should have made sure I'm safe. They should have, you know what I mean? And if anything, I should have been removed from her care, and I should have been not put into St Mary's Secure Unit in the first place.
Yeah.
And obviously, when I first went in there, given the fact that I came from an abused home and just came out of in a system where gestures, and not to mention everything that I'd been through, they put me, there was a yellow unit, a blue unit, and a green unit. And believe it or not, there were I was also chosen to design that whole thing. They'd done a new build, and I was the one in charge of the interior design, which I felt was good. I was given a good role.
Yeah.
But I think that was their way of trying to keep things quiet, because there was, as I said, there was a yellow unit, blue unit, and green unit. And I ended up saying, this is not healthy, when I was in charge of the interior design part. And I said, do you not think it would be wise if the sex offenders, or if the sex offenders, the people that are in for like absconding and all these other things are all in one other unit, and then the people that are in for murder and things like are in another unit.
Yeah.
So that would be everybody categorised into three separate units. That's exactly what they did end up doing. But in the beginning, as I said, it was yellow, blue and green, and I went into the yellow, and I was the only girl in there, and I spent half of the time upstairs in my little cell because I didn't want to be down there, because it was all boys and they were all sex offenders. And basically one of them turned around and says to me when I was sitting there, in fact it never just came from one, but this is the one that sticks in my head, and he says, what would you do if I dragged you into the room, dragged you into the toilet right now, and just did what I wanted with you? And that's when I got scared and I went and put myself up the stairs. Next thing I know, this woman, Kathy, who was a member of staff, came up the stairs after me being up there for 2 days and then bringing my dinner up to me. They then said, I don't think you realise, but you have a leadership skill and you are very mature and the boys do listen to you. Because, like, I always, like, if one person get in trouble, we all get in trouble. And I used to say things like, don't, we're all going to get in trouble, just calm down, it's not worth it. And I didn't even say things like this. And that's when they were like, can you come back down the stairs? It was like the staff didn't even handle their own job and they were getting me to do it.
Yeah.
So,
not
to mention, they had a duty of care to me, and I was scared up the stairs because of what one of the boys had said. Not to mention the other one, he was called Wingy, because he had like half an arm, and he was in for abusing his sister and things like that. However, his mother used to still come up and bring his siblings to see him, which I found strange. But he also says to me, what would you do if, obviously, I gave you this, and it was like his stubbed arm. And
what was that, sorry?
He had half an arm, but it was like kind of rounded off.
Yeah.
And there was like four little, what appeared to be, I think it would have meant to have been fingers, but it was just like another wee four stump.
Yeah.
But they were very small. And he made a comment like, what would you do if, don't you think you would really like it if I used this on you? And he went, I think you would. I think any female would. And I can't really remember what I said or what happened, but I just remember that they mean too. And then, obviously, it went from that to a member of staff whose name was Andy. Again, it was just gestures. He used to take me for clothes and things like that. And then I would try them on, and then he would say, come out, give me a twirl. Oh, yeah, you really do have a nice bum in them. And another one who used to go to change a gear stick, but he would stroke my leg in the process of doing so. And then one day he actually took me, I couldn't believe this. I think Gus was really quite disturbed by what he said. But I think he felt in the middle and did reply to it, but I really don't think he meant it in any other way, rather than just trying to be nice, even though it was inappropriate. The fact that I still believe that, because he was a gentle giant, he'd never done anything, you know. And when we went out there, I mean, I used to talk to Buff all the time, I really trusted that man.
Yeah.
And basically that Andy man took me out there, because I used to, when I was in the secure unit, after a while they would take me back to the children's home, and that was like my weekend away from the secure unit.
Yeah.
So basically they took me there after getting me clothes after that happened, what I just told you. And
they
turned around and said, oh, when she was in the changing room, when she came out, she made the comment, do I have a nice bum in me? Now, I didn't say that. And he said, and I told her, yes, she does. She has a very nice bum. And he went, "Don't you think so? I mean, I think that she looks great in them." And Gus said, "Yeah, she does have a nice bum, yeah." And then obviously there was.
So was it Andy that lied and said that when you came out, you asked if.
Yeah, he said that I asked him if I had a nice bum in them.
Yeah, and then Gus, obviously, then would you say that he fell to the pressure of it and just kind of went along with it and agreed?
I think he was just agreeing. But obviously the way he agreed was inappropriate.
Yeah,
like, did he ever feel threatened by that man? No. Did he ever do anything? No. Did he ever make any comments like that before? Definitely not. And I still didn't feel unsafe around him or anything. I always did feel safe. And he did have a daughter and a son of his own. And I mean, he was a really nice man. I just think, I don't know if maybe he was, I don't know what he was thinking. I mean, I really don't know. But I was in a way, I was glad because it wasn't just him, there was a female there as well. I can't remember who she was, to be honest. I think she was either a trainee member of staff or something.
Yeah.
But she was there as well, and I just kept thinking, if this ever comes out or anything really does happen to me, I've got witnesses that he just said that, you know?
Yeah.
So that's all I was thinking, because I was like, if he's just said that to the one person that I do trust, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I was like, well, I'll be safe at least. If something happens, I know I can go to him. As I said, he'd never done anything before or after.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I really can't see why. Maybe he did feel the pressure. Maybe he was just...
Yeah.
Maybe he was thinking the same thing. I don't know, but I didn't feel threatened by him.
Yeah, so you felt like you had a safe person, so you obviously then... You try not to think of them that way.
Yeah.
So it's difficult, yeah. And with the, obviously you said that you have witnesses, are you constantly on edge, like looking around the room to see, like, oh, if anything was to happen to me, like,
I was always witnesses. Like that. And see,
yeah.
Now, even until today, people will always say to me that I'm very observant and I'm a very suspicious person. And I can hold my hands up and say I am, but nobody understands the life I had. And just with that alone, I mean, it took a long time for me to be around males. I think the only reason that I ended up okay was because I did have six brothers, one who I was really close to, the other ones I didn't get in contact with till later on because they were from my dad's side and my other brother was from my mum's side. So we were all kind of separated. Plus, my dad kept my brothers and my stepsister, whether it's me and my brother William, we went into the system. But obviously my grandmother kept him and then told the panel she couldn't control me and they had to take me away, when in actual fact it was because I was abused up the stairs, you know. It is what it is, but it's sad. It took me years to try and get a relationship back with her. And we did finally repair it because I felt like over the years after I had my children and things, I felt like she was trying. I think she did have a lot of guilt. But that's what I thought. And then one day I was sitting in the house. I was in my 30s at this point. And the man that abused me under her roof, he texted me and she went, "Oh, Pat Traynor is dead. What a shock, such a dear, dear friend." And she says, "Pat Traynor has just passed away. He's dead. I'm absolutely in shock. Such a good, good friend." And my initial response was, "You what? Are you serious?"
Yeah.
Like, that man abused me up the stairs in your house. Do you know what I mean? Like, you abused me up the stairs in your house, and you're texting me to say that, I mean, really? So that kind of just got in the way between us. We've not really been the same since, to be honest.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong, when I did say it to her, she said, if she never said this part, I think I might have just put it down to, like, but I don't know, she can be very manipulative, and I just thought that was really out of order. Especially after me thinking she'd worked so hard to rebuild that bond or that connection. And then basically she said, I totally forgot all about that. If I had known, I would never ever have said anything. Well, if she'd remembered. And I said, I was your firstborn grandchild. And I was up the stair being abused by one of your friends that used to go out with my mother. I mean, so how the hell you can sit and say that you forgot something like that? Not to mention what and then not to mention what she made me do when I came in from school the very next morning. Well, next day. So, and she let him sleep up the stairs that night as well. So I was just like, no, you just don't forget something like that. You just don't.
So when this is happening to you, so was it multiple times? Was it constant that he would? Was it a regular?
Sorry.
So with this, the friend that your grandmother's friend that was, you said, would take you upstairs. Was she aware of it when it was happening, or was it something that?
Yeah, because what had happened was I was in my bed because I worked part time with my auntie, who's my grandmother's daughter, and then we were kind of not far apart in age. She was in full time work, part time, between full time, part time college, and working in the hairdressers. And I was the same only I was at school.
Yeah.
And then basically I was up the stairs and I was in bed, and the next thing he wandered into the room and obviously he started touching me, putting his hand up my back, scrolled right down, tickled right down on my bare back, he put his hand up my top.
Yeah.
Put his hand right down towards my private parts and then started like playing round about there.
Yeah.
And I just froze and I remembered saying, I'm going to run. Because, like, my grandmother had a habit of bringing a lot of the pub back with her when she went out.
Yeah.
So there was a lot of things going on down the stairs, and they were coming up and down using the toilet. So I kept going, right, the next person to come up the stairs, I'm running. And I think about three or four people came up where I'd just frozen. I didn't go anywhere. And then the next thing, I heard someone that was coming up, and that's when I finally did. Because he lay down on the bed beside me at this point.
Yeah.
And I just thought, no. And I ran down the stairs, right into my Auntie Anne's room. And then the next thing, my Auntie Anne came running in with my grandmother, and I was saying what had happened. And my Auntie Anne was kind of reenacting what I was saying on my grandmother, like saying, was it this way, was it that way? And I was saying, yeah or no. And then she was like, no, Mum, no, that's not right, that's wrong. And my gran was just like, right, hold on, let me get this right. And she was like, just going over it and over it. And she's like, I just thought he was up there lecturing you. Now, why would you start talking and saying things like that? You'd be right up the stairs and removing that man. So the next thing, obviously, my grandmother's partner and my Auntie Anne's partner, who was in the living room, now, there was two males there that could have went up and said to him, you need to leave or phone the police or something.
Yeah.
So basically, they turned around and said, I think it was my Auntie Anne's partner that turned around and said, I'm doing him in. And basically, my grandmother was like, no, no. And they actually left him sleeping in my bed that whole night. Me and my Auntie Anne got up in the morning and... I got ready for school. I went to school. She went to work. And I just remember I walked in. And basically what had happened prior was I'd let my mum wear my ring, a sovereign ring.
Yeah.
But we also had a ring that was a crucifix that had been in the family for generations.
Yeah.
And that man ended up with it. So basically when they were on a night out, they went and swapped rings. She let him wear my ring and he gave her the crucifix ring. So basically that was the ring that I got back before I went to bed and he'd done that.
Yeah.
And the next day I came in from school and he wasn't just sitting on any chair, he was sitting on my grandmother's chair. And no one sits on her chair. And she was standing at the fireplace looking out the window and I've walked in and I just got to the living room door and I just froze. And I was like, I couldn't believe it. I just froze. And the next time my grandmother went, give him the ring back. And I was like, it's my ring.
Yeah.
Give him the ring back. And I said again, it's my ring. But she was adamant and I was quite scared of my grandmother. So I was so I took the ring off and she didn't even come over and take it from me. She made me walk over to him and put it in his hand.
Is it so he gave you the ring before anything happened the night before, was it?
Because my grandmother had a habit of bringing the whole pub back. And obviously there was a lot of them drinking in the living room, and there was a lot going on. And I'd said to my auntie Anne, "Oh aye, he's got my ring," because he used to go out with my mother.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And this is why they always say you need to watch, because it's usually somebody closest to the family or somebody you know that does things like this. And I never ever suspected a thing. And then obviously that happened, and I just got the ring back. Do you know what I mean? So
yeah.
And she knew it was my ring, obviously. Why else would I have it?
Yeah. So obviously everything that happened to you. So was this not like a one time thing necessarily, but was that the only time that it went that far? Was it multiple times? Like, who was aware of it?
When that happened?
Yeah, so you were in care with your grandmother, but that was you were placed
and that
there
wasn't
by
the only
social
time
services.
That happened. Yeah, that was the only thing that happened. That was obviously just under her roof it happened, and the woman's next door is her best friend, so yeah.
And were social services aware of everything that was going on and then just sent you back there?
Well, see, to be honest, the social services actually says to me, would I like to go back to my mother's after it?
You told them what had happened?
No, I didn't, because obviously it was only my auntie Anne. I'm a liar, I did tell them,
yeah.
Because at first I wasn't wanting to, because of obviously everything that had been on.
Yeah.
In the past with that man admitting it and things like that, and I didn't want to. But the social worker, whose name was John Sheldon, he was not a nice man.
Yeah.
He really wasn't. He ended up getting the sack in the end, because he'd done to me and my family he'd done to another family what he was doing to me.
Yeah.
So basically he ended up getting sacked. And I remember his name was John Sheldon.
Yeah.
And then I was gave a new social worker, whose name is Angus Baxter. And
Baxter.
Angus Baxter, yeah.
Yeah.
He was my new social worker. He seemed to go on great with my grandmother. So did John Sheldon, but I'm not surprised there.
Yeah.
But it was John Sheldon I told in the end, because at first I was very sceptical. And I was like, and then he was like, your grandmother, because she had obviously went and said she couldn't control me and to take me away, when in actual fact it was because of everything that had just happened. So basically I said, they said they were going to put me back in to the system, back into the actual, you know, the actual home. And I was like, I don't want to go back there. But I don't want to live here either. So in this process, my grandmother's friend at the time, who stayed right next door, she was talking about she would take me in, and she was going to speak to social work about that. But however, I got abused in her house as well. So this was like consistent. Do you know what I mean? At one time, I actually started to think, when I was older, is my mother and grandmother allowing this to happen to me and getting paid for it? Because obviously I know what they were doing. So it did make me think, and it does still make me wonder. In that process, I ended up saying, maybe if I could go back to my mum's. And then that's when I said to John Sheldon, I don't want to get into the system because of what's already kind of happened. It's made me uncomfortable. And I don't really want to be here because I was abused up the stairs by my grandma's best friend. And I can't remember my exact words, but all I remember is me getting a phone call back within about an hour, saying, right, okay, we've made arrangements and you're able to go back to your mum. So I went back to my mum despite everything that was happening to me there, but I just thought, this is better than that, because she's stoned all the time in the room. I was left to my own devices. I was running a house and making sure my brother got to school, and I couldn't even go to school. I was 8 years of age. I think I explained this to you yesterday. So basically, I went back there. I was left to my own devices again. Obviously, running a house, whatever else. But it only lasted, I think, about a week or two.
Yeah.
And then another incident happened. With her best friend's son. And that's when this new worker, Angus Baxter, was given the case. And they put me back to my grandmother's.
So you just passed back and forth.
Yeah,
so it's
constantly.
One made a mistake, you went back. They made a mistake, you went back. It was just constant, just flipped. So you
Yeah.
were never safe. It was just alternate.
Yeah. Yeah. I basically was passed back and forward between then, right up until I got my 2 year at St Mary's, and that was more secure. Well, not secure, but I was there for a longer period of time. However, they were letting me, returning me back to Bathgate Children's Home as well, just for like weekend. That was my weekend. And then it went from there to, right, you can go back to your mother's now. I don't want to go there. And that's when they started going, oh, but they think this would be a better placement. No, I want a through care worker. I want to live alone.
Yeah.
So they made it sound so good. They were going to do this, they were going to do that. Didn't see a thing, didn't even get a maroon painted.
Hurry up.
Are you all okay?
Jacqueline, hurry up, huh? This is about running a diesel, I'm going to get my dad, come on.
What?
This is about running a diesel, I'm going to get my dad at the garage, he's going to take you down or whatever.
I'm on the phone to the lady.
That's all right, okay. Come on then.
I've not got the key for the hotel.
My dad's going to take you down the road. Okay.
My bag's in the hotel and I've not got the key.
Right, well, I can get in if you're coming.
Right, well, you'll need to take her in for my bag then.
Aye.
And I don't think that's true. The train station is the sign. Sorry about that. Yeah, so I ended up with him. And then, obviously, I was there for a long time. I mean, it was a long-term thing. At least I got two children with them. And basically, I never went back. I've never went back. I mean, there's been meetings here and there that kind of pulled the family together in a sense where it's been a funeral or something like that. They've always done something really, really bad.
Yeah.
Or make me look like the bad one. I mean, I don't know what it is. I think they're all just running from their own rubbish, and it's just easier to, I don't know, do what they're doing. But I ended up turning my back in the law and I've never looked back. And I'm
going to be coming back up now. Right, just hang a bit.
Hello?
Right, okay, I'll be there. Right.
Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, sorry, I don't know what happened there. Could you still hear me?
I heard...
Hey, I
could hear a man speaking, but and you were really quiet in the background.
Yeah, sorry. I think because I get into the car, my phone connected to the Bluetooth.
Oh,
and I was still speaking, and then I thought maybe we got disconnected again. So sorry, where did you go?
So we were talking about how you were just sent back and forth constantly. Something happened there, then you were sent back to the other one. And then I think it cut off for a bit, or it changed over the microphones. And then I heard you saying something about you had two kids, but nothing in between.
Right, so sorry. Sorry, my partner was getting out the car there. I mean, it's just one of the days today. Yeah, sorry, could you just say the end part again?
So I caught the last part where you were saying that you had two kids. And then
Yeah, basically we were together like forever because obviously
so
I had two
who
kids.
Was this? So that, I didn't get all the first part of it.
That was my kid's dad. Right, so basically I never looked back, obviously, because of what happened. As I said, there were certain little things that used to bring us together, like the funerals, things like that, but they always had a way of making me look bad, or there was always something, and I think that was their way of maybe dealing with their guilt or something. But obviously it's not ended well, and I've never looked back, and I'm 42 and it's still that way. As I said, there's been certain occasions, funerals and things like that. But I mean, I mean, my brother's dead now, and I believe, do you know what I mean? It's just there's been a lot, and they're a toxic bunch, and there was just no way I was going to let my kids grow up round about that environment. I didn't want them to do what I went through or risk putting them at risk. I never once let any of my family babysit my children, not once. So, yeah, and then obviously I never looked back. At 21, I met my kid's dad, obviously, as I said, and I was with him forever. And then when I left him, I had my own house. And, I've just never, ever, not even for help. If I've went through a time where I've struggled because I just,
dealt with it all yourself, haven't you?
Yep. And as I said, I went through stages where I was homeless and everything, and I'm a kinship kid, not one bit of help did I get.
Yeah. You never got it, so you stopped asking.
Yeah, I stopped asking, I stopped talking completely. I just don't trust anybody, and I don't trust the system because of what I've been through. So it's really hard. If something does happen and you're meant to report it or go and tell someone, I don't, because of what's happened to me. Do you know what I mean? Like, I just don't.
No. So, thank you for sharing all that with me and trusting me with it. I will go back to everything that I've made notes on and everything we've spoken about today, and I'll put through a statement for you, put together one, sorry. Is there anything else that you'd like to add into anything about any of the specific care settings?
No, not just now. I think I've got quite a lot out considering
you've done really well, so thank you for that.
Thanks.
So I'll put it all together and I'll write up a statement, and then following that I'll send over the contracts that you need to sign. So the statements will be on there, so you can give them a look through or you can skip over them. It's completely up to you. If you want someone you trust to read it instead, would you like me to give you a call when I send over the contracts in case you have any questions, or would you like to look through it in your own time?
I'm not really sure, to be honest. You never know, something could pop up in the meantime. So yeah, if you'd like to give me a call, that'd be fine.
Yeah.
I'm not saying there would be, but it's better to be safe, I suppose.
Yeah, of course. So I'll write this all up and then I'll give you a call back, and then we can go through it together. It's just a couple things. Did I mention the payment or anything to you?
What you said was we were 20%. And the government, something about 2,000.
Okay, so following the statements, there's just a few more things that I'll just need to cover. So based on everything we're talking about, so the next step then is for me to send over the contracts and everything like that. Obviously, there's no obligation for you to proceed. So you'll have a look through, read everything, and I'll do it with you, make sure you're happy with everything. So it's just an electronic signature, so you just sign it on your phone.
Right.
So we've got the, 2 seconds. So the types of payments. So there's two applications that we pursue under the redress scheme. So there's the first one, so it's a fixed payment of £10,000, and it's a fixed amount regardless of the severity of abuse you suffered. Or there's the individually assessed payments where you can get up to £100,000, which is decided by a closed panel dependent on the level of abuse you suffered. So based on the previous awards made by the scheme and everything we've spoken about today, I would probably try and pursue the individually assessed payment. So you're not required to attend any meeting with the redress scheme. We provide all the statements for you, like, on your behalf to tell your story. So would you be happy to continue with the individually assessed one?
Right, so hold on. So are you saying the awards minimum is £10,000 and the other one's £100,000?
So the first one is a fixed payment of £10,000. So no matter, like,
the first one's £10,000. So there's two.
Yes, there's two options. So the first one
options,
is wait,
two payments, right?
Oh, no. So the first one is just the fixed payment of £10,000, regardless of the severity of abuse you suffered. So we send off everything, as long as we get the evidence back and there's proof that everything happened, then you get the £10,000. Or they do the individually assessed payment. So that is where it goes to a panel. They read through everything and then they select, so between £10,000 and £100,000. based on the level of abuse you suffered. So it's individually assessed instead. So I would probably would try and push for that one based on everything we've spoken about today. And it's basically a case of you'll get 10 regardless, so you may as well try. But it's up to you, obviously. So it might just take the process will take a little bit longer because it has to go through a panel. But you can push for more if you'd like.
Right. So basically, if you put all the evidence through and you do the option two, that's going for the 100 grand, but I would get 10 grand regardless anyway.
So you get minimum.
Right, okay.
So one of them is you get minimum 10, you can get up to 100, or it's just 10, it's capped.
Right, okay, I understand that. And you take 20% off that?
Yeah.
Right, okay. That's
20. So did you want to push for the individually one?
Yeah, let's go for that one, yeah. Especially, I mean, what can we lose? Especially if we're going to get 10 grand anyway. So yeah, go for that. And if we get 100 grand, that's amazing. But if not, we've still got 10.
Yeah, so it might just take a bit longer as it has to go through a panel and everything, but we may as well push for it.
yeah, you're right.
Okay, so I'll pop that on there for you then. So I've got your beneficiary down as well as Gary.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Was there a date of birth, sorry? Oh, I might have it on file. Never mind, sorry. No, I've got it, no stress. So it's January 2006, yeah?
Sorry. Did you say his date of birth?
Yeah, just confirm. It's the 23rd of the 1st, 2006.
Yeah, the 23rd of the 1st, 2006.
Yeah, perfect. Okay. So that is everything covered for now. So I will get this written up for you and then I will send over the contracts when I get a chance. I'm quite busy today. I'll try my best to get it sorted today. But if not, I'll send over the contracts regardless, but I might give you a call in the morning. Or you can have a look through yourself, give me a message back and say you have some questions. But I'll try to get it done today, but if not, it might be tomorrow morning. Is that okay?
Yeah, that's fine, yeah.
Perfect. Okay, well, thank you very much for your time. I'll get this all added to your file and, yeah, we'll go from there.
Right, that's great. I really appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Bye. Thank you.
Have a good day. Bye.
Bye-bye. Bye.